Capernaum. And when the Sabbath came, Jesus entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing the man and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once, Jesus' fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This evening we see Jesus performing the first miracle recorded in Mark's Gospel. He's in the synagogue, he's been teaching, and he confronts this evil spirit. And he drives it out of this man simply by saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And I want to draw your attention to something fairly obvious. I'm sure you know this about Jesus, but let's focus on this for a moment. We're talking about a young man. Jesus is a young man of about 30. And that's very, very interesting because this young man, Jesus, remember, he's as human as the rest of us in all things except sin. This young man of 30 is entering public life for the first time. And at this moment that he first proclaims his teaching, he is confronted with a battle of his life. He is facing the forces of darkness, this unclean spirit. We have a young man confronting evil face to face, ultimate evil. And because he is also God, first and foremost, one with the Father and the Holy Spirit, for him, it's just a word. Be silent and come out of him, and the evil spirit is driven out. And I think it's amazing, or I would better say, dismaying to me, as I believe it should be for you, that the one group of people who find us, the community of the disciples of Jesus, the least compelling is young men. Young men are not drawn to the church, at least in this part of the world. I did a little count at the first part of the Mass. I count approximately of 100 of us, with a generous estimate, maybe 5 young men, maybe. I'm looking at a couple now. There aren't too many of them here. I'm glad you're here. I am. And in saying that, I must also recognize that so many things happen in the life of the church because women step up. So thank you to all of you women who are here and who really keep us going in so many ways. But I want to put before you this difficulty, partly because I've got 2 young men who are rather close to me, my sons, who are in the early 20s. And I know that at this moment, because I follow this stuff a little bit, I'm interested in what happens with young people, having a family, including 2 young men and 1 young woman. I know there are speakers and figures out in society who are very compelling to young men. Very compelling to young men. Some of them are drawing like 90% of their audience is young men. And often with a very extreme message. So I think we should ask ourselves, what are we doing here? Why are we not compelling to young men? Again, think about Jesus. The first time he appears in public, is mentioned in Mark's Gospel, He's a young man, as he is throughout his ministry, in his early 30s. This is the person who is the center of our faith, God incarnate, who fulfills his mission as a young man, and we are not compelling to young men. I've been thinking and praying about this for quite a while, and this evening I'd like to make a suggestion that one thing we can and should look at is our relationship with the Bible, the Word of God. Now, I want to mention that in particular this evening because Bishop Crosby has designated this Bible Sunday for the whole Diocese of Hamilton. And I believe it's true that if we examine our relationship as a community with the Bible, I think we'll discover perhaps why it is that we are not compelling to young men. And we know that there are many ways that people dismiss the Bible altogether, even Christians sometimes, seeing it, for instance, as ancient history that has nothing to do with the present. Why would we follow the Bible in 2018, some people say. And yet we know the Bible is God's living word. It's very much about our lives today. It's not, in the first place, an ancient history. It has some ancient history in it, but it's not ancient history. It's God's word alive for us today. Other people dismiss the Bible as fairy tales or mythology. But we know that the Bible is, in fact, the truth. Everything God wanted to reveal to us for our salvation is inspired by him and written in this book. It is the truth. And other people, and sometimes even devout people, think about the Bible primarily as a book of instructions guiding us to a way of life. Of course, that's in the Bible, but that's not what the Bible as a whole is. We have the Ten Commandments and the New Testament, the Beatitudes. Sure, there are instructions in the Bible. What is the Bible? The Bible is the Word of God. That's a very interesting statement, isn't it? Because we know, as the beginning of John's Gospel tells us, Jesus is the Word of God. And the Catechism says, quoting St. John of the Cross, God has spoken only one word, and that word is Christ. When we truly encounter the Bible as members of God's people, followers of Jesus Christ, we meet Jesus. We meet Jesus. It was very interesting. I hadn't planned this, but just yesterday I was talking to a young man. I think he's about in his early 20s or something. And he's on the journey of becoming Catholic. I've known this young fellow for a couple of years now. He's been studying a lot. He's been meeting with the priest. He's attending Mass, so of course not participating fully in the sacrament. But, you know, he's learning about the Catholic faith. And he admitted something to me very interesting that might apply to you. I know it applies to me as well. He said, I realized I was avoiding the Bible. He said, I realized I was avoiding the Bible. And he just started reading the Bible. He said he read the Gospel of Luke, the Acts of the Apostles, and an Old Testament book. I can't remember which one. He had been avoiding reading the Bible. And it's very interesting. He said, as soon as I began reading the Bible, he started with the Gospel of Luke. He realized, this is how I can, here and now in my life, develop a relationship with Jesus. Those are his words. Because I'm meeting Jesus in his word. And I think three things can happen to us when we receive the Bible as we are intended to by God himself, as our encounter with Jesus Christ. In the same way, very much the same way that we receive him in the Eucharist, we meet him in the Bible. And I think the first thing that happens is we meet the most compelling person we could ever possibly meet, Jesus. You know that you're reading the Bible. I know I'm reading the Bible. When we meet the most compelling of all possible people, Jesus. No one can get our attention like he can, because there's no one like him. Just think about the brief passage we heard from Mark's Gospel describing this incredible event in the life of Jesus. Who is this man, at least, we can ask ourselves when we hear about this incredible teaching with authority and this casting out of the unclean spirit? And when we are compelled by the figure of Jesus, whom we encounter in the Bible, who speaks to us through his word, something else happens. He asks us for things. He asks us to sacrifice. And I think it's very interesting. What makes someone very compelling, I think, for young men, and I think maybe for all of us, is when they ask us for something really big. They ask us for sacrifice. Jesus asks us to offer sacrifices, to give up the things we think we want or need in this life for his sake and for the sake of his people, for the sake of the least among us. We're called to sacrifice. And a third thing that happens, which again I think is important for young men, but for all of us really, is that our priorities are completely changed. We're no longer the same people. Does that maybe explain why I believe we avoid getting into the scriptures? Are you sure you want to be a different person the way Jesus wants you to be? I'm not sure sometimes. Just to read the Bible prayerfully then is an act of conversion. Changing what St. Paul talked about in today's second reading. All of us, I know I married myself, so I can certainly relate to what he says, but I think this applies to all of us. We get caught up in worldly affairs, he says. We get caught up in worldly affairs. And what he cares about most of all is not whether we're married or not, but that we should be single-minded in our devotion to God. And that means we enter into a mission. Not our mission, the mission of Jesus. And there is no greater mission in the world. It's the same mission we saw on display in the events of this evening's gospel, confronting evil face to face, not on our own strength or with our own power, but with Jesus. Now, just so you know, I'm not only talking to or about young men. I want to relate a very, very powerful story that I heard just a few days ago that really reflects what it means to be a disciple of Jesus who has entered into his word. A few of us were talking the other day. One is an older person, a lady of about 80. And she described an event. She's a very devout person who really lives in and through the scriptures. A very remarkable event that really took the rest of us aback. That illustrates really what we saw in the gospel, but more in our time. Now this goes back a number of years. And she had a friend, another woman, married, who was experiencing abuse in her marriage. Very serious situation. She said one Sunday morning, when she and her husband were getting ready to go to church, she got a telephone call. And there was only one word from her friend, help. So she said to her husband, I need to go. And he said, should I come with you? And she said, and this to me is kind of mysterious, she said, no, but pray for me. And so she went. She went to her friend's house. The door was unlocked. She opened the door, tapped on it a little bit to let them know she was there. She had no idea what she was stepping into. And there she saw the couple sitting there. And as she entered the house, she said, she's never before experienced such an incredible presence of evil. Just think about the gospel we just heard. She said, she'd never before experienced or since such an incredible presence of evil. And as she entered the room, the man came up as if to go after her. And at that moment, she said, she felt herself surrounded and protected by the arms of Jesus. He didn't touch her. Nothing happened. Isn't that an amazing thing? Well, I believe that when we enter into God's word and with the power of his Holy Spirit and with Jesus behind us, we're going to be facing these situations because they're all around us already. But we're going to be facing them with the power of his word and his Holy Spirit. We're going to be engaged in the greatest possible, most meaningful adventure of all, which is the power of Jesus and his word here on earth and in our lives. I want to make a very, very simple suggestion to you. I know I was just preaching, I was with Father in Chesley a little while ago, earlier on this evening. Some people ask, well, what should I read in the Bible or something? Where should I start? I have been thinking about this for a while. I would really suggest you consider this week, This is the week that we are dedicating ourselves to the Bible, as Bishop Crosby asked, following a request of Pope Francis to designate Bible Sunday for one Sunday of the year in our diocese. Consider reading one of the Gospels all the way through. If you read quickly, read it in one sitting if you can. I've done that once with Mark's Gospel. You could pick Luke, Matthew, John, it doesn't matter. Read one of the Gospels all the way through, expecting to meet Jesus because he is there ready to meet you. Now, there's a little insert in the bulletin that may explain a bit more about this Bible Sunday thing, but I also want to say, if you do not have a Bible of your own, I know we can get free New Testaments thanks to our brothers in the Gideon Society. So I put some blank pieces of paper which just says free New Testament. It says name, and they're on the table in the narthex there. Just write your name down if you want a Bible or New Testament, a free New Testament. We can get them for next Sunday. So I really believe we all need a Bible, not just to have on the shelf or collect dust, but that we enter into because it is God's Word. It's the weapon. It's described as a weapon, actually, in the Bible itself that God places in our hands for the mission that we have all received. I just want to close then with a description of God's Word that comes from the letter to the Hebrews. And St. Paul writes, "Indeed, the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joints from marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart."